You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The world needs good news. It needs good news from God.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. Marks the opening of the 41st season of gospel broadcasting on this program. As we mark this milestone in radio missions, we of the International Lutheran Layman's League thank Almighty God and are pleased to welcome back to our microphones our regular speaker, the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman. Today's program will be somewhat different in format, and that Dr. Hoffman, instead of preaching a sermon, will share with you the true story of a man who came to faith in Jesus Christ through the instrumentality of this broadcast, and has dedicated his life to the service of his Lord and Savior as a Christian pastor. He is the Reverend David Chung, pastor of the True Word Lutheran Church in Hong Kong. He is currently in the United States working on his master's degree in mass communications at Southern Illinois University. And now, here is Dr. Hoffman to introduce his guest.
Pastor Chung, you were not always a follower of Jesus Christ. I understand that you became a Christian by listening to the Lutheran Hour. I wonder if you would share that story with our audience.
I shall be most happy to do so. You see, most Chinese people love music, and I am one of them. One day, I happened to be listening to the broadcasting program sponsored by the Lutheran Hour in Hong Kong, and I heard a piece of music which so touched me that I just could not forget it. The tune was beautiful, compelling, and it kept ringing over and over again in my mind.
Pastor Chung, how would you like to sing that or hum that tune?
Well, I shall try to sing for you.
神乃是人甚至将他的 独生孩子赐给他们，叫一切信他的，不知灭亡，不知灭亡，反得永生。
That's a haunting melody.
Thank you.
I can see how it attracted you. Would you be so kind as to translate the words for us into English?
Of course, but I don't think I have to translate word by words because all the Christians should know that. The song is based on the Gospel, John, chapter 3, verse 16, God so loved the world.
Well, isn't that something? The song is just about John 3:16.
Right.
And Pastor Chung, what did you do after you heard that first broadcast and that song? Did you write the Lutheran Hour for information?
I wrote to the address that was given at the end of the broadcast. I received a lot of literature and a letter of encouragement.
And then how did you become a Christian? I assume that you had some kind of religion before that time.
Yes, according to Chinese tradition, I have been a Buddhist from birth. And also had also studied Confucianism and Taoism. Up to this time, I had find this religion satisfactory for my needs. But upon hearing the Christian gospel, my curiosity was aroused. I was determined to find out about this God of the Bible who could accept me as I was. And for the sake of his son, Jesus Christ, gave me special status far beyond what I deserve or even hope for.
Well, what was it that decided you then finally to become a Christian?
I read and studied all the informational literature that was given me. Once again, it was the music that attracted me. Because I had studied vocal music before, I offered my services as a member of the Lutheran Choir in Hong Kong. After a period of time, as a member of the choir and as a student of the scriptures and the writings of the Lutheran Church, I finally decided to join the church.
Well, I think you must have been a valued member of that choir. You have a beautiful voice, and I'm certainly glad you were led in that way to become a follower of Jesus Christ, knowing him and trusting in him. Did this adoption of a new faith present any difficulties for you? I mean, let's say, in your family.
Oh, yes, a little bit. Well, you see, my father was died a long time ago. The problems came from my mother. You see, I have a feeling that my mother always hoped that someday I would come back to the traditional Chinese religion. However, she came to the realization that my Christian faith means so much to me that I will remain a Christian.
I certainly want you to know that you're welcome in this family of Christians throughout the world. It doesn't make any difference at all what nationality people belong to. Christ is for everyone. And that's a very interesting story that you have to tell. It shows how God's word, whether spoken or sung or disseminated in various ways, can have an impact upon the hearts and lives of millions of listeners in many parts of the world.
We'll bring you the second portion of this interview between Dr. Oswald Hoffman and the Reverend David Chang of Hong Kong in just a few moments. But first, let's listen to the sounds of a well-known Christian song as provided by the staff of the China Lutheran Hour.
我们要一起敬拜，我们成为一体。求主施恩，带领使我们恢复自己，让人认识基督徒有爱心，有爱心，让人认识基督徒有爱心。
Now, here again is Dr. Oswald Hoffman with more questions for Pastor David Chang of Hong Kong.
I wonder now if you would tell us something about the Chinese people, in fact, all the peoples of Asia. What is it that they are seeking in this modern age?
Well, Dr. Hoffman, I think, first of all, it is necessary for the people of Western world to try to understand Oriental culture. The peoples of Asia, just like the people of the Western world, value material achievement. They would like to raise their standard of living and be able to live without fear of starvation. And in the houses, they are both sanitary and modern. But they do not express their desire in these terms, as many of you Americans do. What they value is realism. Yet, realism to them is expressed not in the terms of worldly goods, but in psychological terms.
Now, that's something that I think you're going to have to explain. I don't quite understand what you mean by that.
You see, when the Christian religion was brought to the Orient, it was brought by the Christian missionaries on the missionaries' own terms. The missionaries brought a Western gospel in a Western context. And with the missionaries, there also came Western business, of which the Western world always managed to own at least 51%, which, as you know, gave it a controlling majority. What the people of Asia want is completely equality, acceptance of anything, whether of religious or philosophical concept or of business proposition, must be on the basis of mutual understanding and satisfaction.
Well, I'm sure that many Western businessmen have found that out to be true in that part of the world. And the church, too, at its very best, is not proclaiming a Western gospel, but the gospel of Jesus Christ, which did not come from the West at all, but from the Mideast of our world. And mutuality certainly is a very important requirement for relations between peoples, whether they're from the East or from the West. Now, what about war? I've heard it said from time to time that China is the sleeping giant of the Orient, and that if she ever wakes up, she will try to conquer the world. What do you say about that?
Generally speaking, the peoples of Asia do not like war nor military power. In fact, in Chinese society, the soldier is considered a destructive force, one who never produces anything, but only destroys what someone else has built. Moreover, the Chinese people have a profound dislike for force, that is, physical force. They are convinced the force has never been successful at winning anything. If you will look at Chinese and Indian history, you will find this fact to be true. Every invader who ever attempted to conquer China by force was incapable of doing so and was, in the end, always overwhelmed by the superior civilization which he met.
That's a profound observation. And it confirms what I have seen of the Chinese people in Hong Kong and in Taiwan. I know that they have been forced to military operations of various kinds. And I believe your father was part of that, too. Mm-hmm. What happened to your father?
Well, he was died in a battle during the year 1949 against communism.
Where was he killed?
He was killed in the Hainan Island.
Yes.
That's the second largest island of China.
And he was a military man.
Yeah.
What rank did he hold?
He was a one-star general.
Yes. And you were how old at that time?
I think about 9 years old.
And you received the news while you were living in Hong Kong.
That's right.
Very sad news. And there's been a lot of sadness in the modern history of the Chinese people. Now, what are the qualities in a person that the people of Asia most respect?
Well, believe it or not, despite the extremely high rate of illiteracy in the Orient, the highest respect is paid to the person who is truly educated. Next in rank is a respect for integrity. You see, the Asia people value sincerity and integrity. The Chinese have built their idealism around human relationship. The truly educated man does not use force. Confucius once said, "The superior man blames himself, the inferior man blames others." This is a kind of practical idealism which is actually carried out in a daily life. And I have a feeling that among the people of the Western world, this kind of idealism is true also. You do not really believe or have faith in the braggart, the fellow who always talks big but does nothing. It is not true that you have many jokes about the big things done in Texas?
Yes, I imagine some people in Texas who would say that Texas is as big as China, which would be quite an overstatement, wouldn't it? What do the people of Asia really want?
The one thing the peoples of Asia really have want more than anything else is unity. Their national unity are so deeply ingrained in their history that the people of Asia depend on this much more than your Western folks do on political unity.
You're saying, then, that the cultural and social and personal relationships that people in the East share are a stronger force in keeping them together and any kind of political unity that might bring them together. This is certainly different from our Western way of thinking, but that's what you're saying, isn't it?
Yes, Dr. Alma, it is exactly what I mean.
Now, what role does independence play in all of this? Don't the peoples of Asia want to be independent?
Oh, yes, indeed. They want independence very much. Next, they would like to have some economy help. Well, please understand me. I don't mean relief help, but economy assistance in order to be able to stand, as you Americans always say, on their own 2 feet. But they would like this help from the United Nations, not only from the United States. They would like to see the United Nations be a administrator of assistance in providing the world food, world health, and world education.
We'll share more of this interesting conversation between Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker, and the Reverend David Chung of Hong Kong in just a few moments. And now, friends, permit us to tell you about our new memento. It is a specially prepared plastic bumper sticker which carries the timely legend, "Hate is a disease, Christ is the cure." Write for your free bumper sticker today and place it on your car as a living witness to your faith in the Christ who heals all our diseases. Our address is simply The Lutheran Hour, St. Louis, Missouri, 63139. And now we listen to another Christian hymn sung in Chinese, Amazing Grace. We bring you the final portion of the conversation between Dr. Oswald Hoffman and the Reverend David Chung of Hong Kong.
Now I'd like to ask you a few personal questions. We've already talked about your father. You were born in mainland China, weren't you?
Yes. I was born in mainland China, a place called Dagu, a little bit close to the Peking. And I was born in the year 1939. We left mainland China for Hong Kong in the year 1949 when the revolution took place. Because, you see, my family was strongly believed in freedom, as many of the people of Asia are. We thought we had to flee our homeland and establish a new home elsewhere.
Now, you know mainland China, and you probably know more than most people, or you understand better than most people, what Chinese are thinking on the mainland. Are they happy under their present regime?
I suppose they're happy in a way, because most of them do not know what they are missing. When I saw the television pictures of your President Nixon visiting the China Peking, and I also heard the commentators say the Peking University was closed, my heart went out in sympathy for my countrymen, because I knew that while they seem to possess a greater degree of law and order than I have found in the United States, they would not dare to live any other way. And I also knew that they did not even have the option of attempting to do otherwise. You see, Dr. Hoffman, at this moment, the most voiceless people in the world are those of mainland China. Now, this is not because they are naturally inarticulate, but there simply is no channel now into which they can speak the true thoughts of their minds. The true voice of the Chinese people is not being heard. They have their so-called official representatives abroad, but the Chinese people feel that even these representatives dare not say all the things that they themselves would like to say. So, when you ask me what the people of China want most of all, I have to say that their greatest desire is for real, as you say, honest-to-goodness freedom.
Now I wonder if we might talk a bit about the hopes of the Chinese people for the future.
Well, the Chinese people are unified and have been unified for a long time, as you see. Else, how could China have lasted as a nation and as a civilization this many centuries? Her political unity has been her weakest point because, as I have said, the Chinese people value political unity the least. You Westerners value political unity highly. But that is one of the big differences between us. It is my belief that the Chinese people have all the unity that is essential for successful living. They are of one background, and they have been unified by centuries of common history and experience when, as I have indicated, the unity of spirit outlasted and finally conquered every force who ever attacked them with superior armies.
Well, now what about their religion?
Well, they are also unified in their religion, too. None of their three great religions exclude belief in the other. So that without conflict or difficulty of any sort a person may be at the same time a Confucianist and Taoist and even Buddhist.
And how about their social background?
Well, the Chinese people possess similar, if not identical, social custom. And this art spread over the widest geographical expanse in the world. The Chinese people also have a common written language, the Xin literature, and art, as well as a common spoken language, excluding a few dissimilar dialects.
And they also have a common way of cooking their food, don't they?
Yeah.
I know when I was in Taiwan, although in Taiwan there's a great deal of feeling about mainland China, as you know, they said the best Chinese food is still to be found on mainland.
I want to tell you one joke, too. You see, we Chinese believe the most happy people in the world, he must have three kinds of things. One is an American house like you have. Second is Chinese food, of course. The third is a Japanese wife.
Well, now, with all of these commonalities that there are in China, where do you think the Chinese people stand as far as the future is concerned?
The Chinese people are eager to have the American people recognize their situation because they would like to see a genuine spirit of cooperation between our two peoples. This spirit of cooperation cannot be genuine if it is built on false suppositions that includes the much too formal protocol of the Chinese and the much too devised art of American diplomacy. Here then, it is the truth as the Chinese people see it, the truth that has to deal with the past, the present, and the future.
Well, then what about all of this, the sleeping giant of China? Do you think that that's really going to happen, that China will really take its place in a peaceful way as a world power and be able to live with other peoples?
Well, I have to say yes, Dr. Hoffman. You see, the mainland China is no longer removed. This sleeping giant, as you describe her, is at last locking at the doors of the world. It is undoubtedly they will become a leader of Asia and also will influence whole world because both as to the population and mature material, this is an immeasurable sources for them. China will exert to a tremendous influence upon the world. The big question is, are all the Chinese, including me, going to go on willingly to live under their present government?
What contribution is Jesus Christ going to make to the future of China, do you think?
You see, there's about 800 million people living in China now. And I truly believe they are under some kind of starvation of spiritual need. So if we have a chance to reach them, you can see Jesus Christ meaning a lot of them.
Now, you were just reading before a letter from a man in mainland China to the Lutheran Hour. Is it possible to talk to Chinese people on the mainland?
I think so. You see, the Lutheran Hour actually is doing this kind of work now. I have been told there's a radio station in Macau broadcast the gospel into the mainland China. I believe they reach a lot of people.
Do you think that it is received there in a favorable way by the people of China?
I always says not in a favorable way, though, but still, you can reach them, at least. And who knows, there are also many Christians in mainland China, too.
You think there are many Christians left there?
I believe that.
And one day they're going to be able to disclose themselves again.
Yes.
And I would imagine that if the Christian faith is to have any real hearing in China, it will have to come from people who are Chinese, rather than from some of us who represent the Western world.
Well, I would say it's partially true. Yeah. Not exactly.
Well, these Chinese programs that we broadcast from Macau and other places in the Far East are all put on the air by Chinese people.
Oh, yes, yes.
And in fact, you're preparing to do that kind of thing too, aren't you, eventually?
Yes, that's what I came for.
Well, Pastor Chung has not only become a follower of Christ, he's become a pastor of the Lutheran Church. That is, he's a follower of Jesus Christ. That's what makes him a Lutheran. And he's also preparing to reach out to people over the airwaves, and that's why he's in the United States at this time. This is not a subversive message. This is one to build up people and to bring them to faith and give them a new life, to know Jesus Christ, who is the forgiveness of sins for everything that is past, and also the hope of the future for everything that is yet to be.